Well, those of you that might be listening to this online, yes, this is me. I thought maybe you might get an idea of what it's like to have Lou Rawls as your pastor. I thought maybe that would be kind of an interesting subject. If you know who Lou Rawls is, if you don't, then it wasn't interesting at all. As I said, we're going to be wrapping up our series on becoming an eagle Christian. And this morning I've entitled this Renewed, Refreshed, and Recharged. Let me ask you some questions. While I'm doing that, turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, turn there. But let me ask you some questions. Is anybody in here right now tired? I'm not trying to be a wise guy. I don't mean sleepy, like you didn't get enough sleep last night. But I mean weary. Just you kind of feeling, just kind of maybe even a little beaten down. You're just tired. You call it bone tired. Or you just get up in the morning and think, oh my goodness, I don't know if I've got what it takes to deal with this today. That kind of tired. Does it seem like there are always many more things to do in the day than there is ever time to get them done? Has that ever happened to you? You figure, I got a list this long and my day is this long. So all the things I didn't get done get piled onto the next day, which has already got a list that's too long. Do our minds, because of that, get so filled with the clutter of the world that it doesn't ever allow us to truly be and to experience joy in our lives? These are questions I'm asking you to think of. So you got so much going on. I'm so tired. I can never seem to get ahead that my mind is always consumed with those thoughts, and I've lost my joy. I used to laugh a lot more than I do now. I used to enjoy life a lot more. Now I've seemed to have lost that. Are we destined to burn out because of this, like a sun at some point? Astrophysicists say that the sun, our sun, has a finite amount of energy. And at some point, X number of years down the road, it's probably going to be a while, we don't have to worry about this, but the sun's going to burn out. It's going to lose all its energy, and then it's done. Is that what we are? Is that what we're destined to be? Or has God provided for us a way to become renewed in this life? That we can become renewed. And to understand renewal, you also have to know three other truths that are also important. The first one is this. I'll get to my scripture. Hang on. I'll come back. First one is this. There will be difficulties in life. I realize that's not any great revelation for you. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But again, sometimes as Christians, we tend to get our nose bent out of shape because we think, you know what? This isn't fair. I'm a Christian. God loves me. I love God. I go to church. I tithe. I read my Bible. I pray. How come these things are still happening to me? 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Paul is writing to that church. And they're dealing with a bunch of issues there. And he ends up by saying this, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials, for you know quite well we are destined for them. A destiny means it's what's coming. It's what is inevitable to come. And in this life, in this world, we are destined to have to deal with difficult things. Because we serve the risen God, but who's the prince of this air? Who's the prince of the air? Satan is. And so as long as Satan is on the loose, he's going to do everything he can to torment Christians, to try to make things tough, to try to work on our faith, to try to pull us away from our relationship with God. It's going to happen. So don't be surprised. It just means so much to me when I see somebody that has to deal with something, I go, wow, how are you handling that? And they say, well, you know, I'm dealing with it. As opposed to people that often say, man, I never saw that coming. Boom, down I went. If you know that those things are inevitably going to come, you don't get caught off guard as much. So they're going to happen. Second truth, we are equipped to be victorious in our day-to-day lives. We've already got everything we need in order to be able to overcome those things that we have to deal with every day. I was talking to my buddy, Jason, and he and I share a common thing. When we get behind the wheel of a car, or when he's on his motorcycle, and it's worse for him, because people don't watch for motorcycles. It's a dangerous thing. But it makes me crazy when people drive like they have 4 cents worth of intelligence. Not me. I never do that. Am I an aggressive driver, honey? Yes, I, okay. She just gave me that look like, yes, you are. I'm trying to be better about that. But the little things like that get into our spirits, and then the big things that we need to deal with. Difficulties in relationships, difficulty with finances, difficulty on my job, all of these things that are going to be tough from time to time. Number one, I know that they're going to be there, but number two, I have been given everything I need to be in order to be victorious in those things. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and I'm going to refer to the scripture twice. All scripture, because it's talking about the word of God, is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. So, watch this, the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And to be thoroughly equipped means that I've got everything that I need. Here's the third truth, and it goes in with that. Satan wants you to believe that these things will always overcome you and you'll always be defeated. That's what he wants you to think. But once again, if we can understand who and what Satan is, we can immediately be able to deal with that in a way that's not going to take us out and it'll glorify God. Because here's what John 8:44 says. This is Jesus talking. He says, when he lies, he's talking about Satan, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Satan is incapable of telling the truth. So everything that he says to you is a lie. So he says, you're weak. You know what that means? I'm actually strong because of him and me. He says, you're going to be a failure at this. No, I'm going to be successful, because that's a lie. That relationship is irrevocably broken. No, it can be brought together by God's love. My health is always going to be an issue in my life. No, you can have healing if that's God's will for you. Everything that Satan says is a lie. So if we understand that there are going to be trials in life, I have everything I need in order to overcome them, and Satan's going to want me to try to not believe that, now I'm ready to understand what it means to be renewed. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Okay, Psalm 103, the first 5 verses. Here's what it says. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Boy, that's good writing, isn't it? That's encouraging to me. That's what God's love is for us. Now, even the mighty eagle gets to the point where it gets worn down and tired. Here's what happens. As eagles age, and again, all of these different species are different, a little bit different, but as they age, things happen to them physically. First of all, the feathers begin to wear. And what happens with that is that as they fly, they begin to whistle. Not whistle at their beaks. I mean, their feathers begin to whistle as they pass through the air. Well, if you're a hunter, all right, guys, if you're a hunter, you're probably not whistling when you're walking up to your prey, I'm guessing. Is that right, Nate? Probably not. But you're good enough that you could probably do that anyway, I understand. But if an eagle is flying and is coming down to attack its prey and the feathers are making a noise, obviously that prey is going to take off. And so eagles, if something doesn't change, they'll starve and they'll die. Second thing that happens is that their talons begin to lose their sharpness. They're not as sharp. You know, they got to sit and hold on to things, and the same thing happens to their beaks. There have also been some eagles that have been seen with a calcification that will grow on its beak. Almost looks like a wart, but it's real hard. And the problem with that is that it takes the bird out of balance. If the beak becomes heavier than what it should be, it can't fly properly. They've observed birds with this type of an issue that have actually crashed when they've tried to land because they're completely out of balance. But the eagle doesn't leave it that way. He doesn't just give up and go, okay, I'm done, game over, that's it, check please, I'm done. I don't want to get like that. Doesn't matter how old we get in chronological years, we can be as active in the kingdom, active in our lives, as we choose to be. I understand physical limitations, I know all those things, absolutely. But so much of that is about the mind and how we choose to believe and what we want to think. Well, the eagle doesn't leave it like this. So at that time in its life, what it will do is that it will fly to the highest place that it can find and isolate itself, getting closer to the warmth of the sun. And it begins to go through a process. And one of the things that it will do first is it will begin to pull all of the, not with its hands, it'll take its beak, and it'll pull all of those old bad feathers off of its body. Now, I don't know this for sure, but I know for me, here's what happens. I get this one single thick black hair that grows in the middle of my eyebrow. My wife, not wanting me to look like a Cro-Magnon, says, let me pull that out for you. She'll ask me this for 3 or 4 weeks before I finally relent because I know what this is going to feel like. And she'll come at me with this sharp pair of tweezers right at my eyes. She says, don't move. Okay, I won't move. So I close my eyes. And she starts pulling on it, and she can't get it for like 3 or 4 times. So finally at the end, she finally gets it and pops that thing out. And I'm telling you what, my eyes are watering. I'm thinking, ladies, you got a tough deal here. I don't, just shave. I mean, my gosh. Yeah, that would be nasty, wouldn't it? So, but it hurts. I got to imagine that when that eagle is pulling those feathers out, that's not very pleasant, very uncomfortable. When it's done with that, it'll find a mountain stream somewhere, and it'll go down, and it'll wash itself in the water. Now, eagles do hit the water when they're fishing and those types of things, but they don't actually get in it, spend any length of time. But during this process, the eagle will get into the water, and it will thoroughly wash itself, getting rid of blood, parasites, lice, anything that could be unhealthy for it. My question for us this morning, as I think about that picture in my mind of the eagle doing that, is what makes us dirty in our lives? And I want you to change your thinking of the word dirty, because we usually use dirty as something that's not, I think, where we are here. You know, he thinks dirty thoughts. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is anything in our lives that keeps us separated from God is dirty in our lives. And sometimes those are the very feathers that need to be removed from us as we're desiring to want to be renewed and to be made whole and strong. Once the bird has washed itself, it'll then fly up as best it can, get up to that perch, and it'll stand with its feathers extended, drying. And it'll just stand there in the sun. They've been observed standing for extended lengths of time until the feathers are dry. But while it's doing that, it'll do some other things. Because it will continue to move around, and as the feathers are drying, it'll find itself a rock, and it'll take its beak, and it'll begin drawing it across that rock, sharpening the edges again. If that calcification is present, it'll just keep rubbing and rubbing and rubbing until it's gone. The talons, the same thing. It'll just work a rock or something hard that'll allow those talons to get resharpened again. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know what? If we could learn to wait as well as this eagle does, imagine what God could accomplish in our lives. You say, wait, what are you talking about? Well, consider this. As long as that eagle is drying itself, it's not flying, it's not hunting, it's not doing anything. It's waiting to become dry. But it doesn't take that time and do nothing. Sharpens its talon, sharpens its beak, works on its feathers, all the different things that it's doing. Waiting well. Now, I preached on this several months ago, and a number of you told me that God really spoke to your heart about that. But as we wait for something in our lives, what do we do with that time? So many times when we pray, and you've heard us talk about this before, how does God answer prayer? One of three ways. Yes, no, wait, or not yet. You know, when God tells us to wait on something, he's not waiting on himself. He's waiting on us. Again, I think about things I've asked God for, and I didn't receive them for quite some time. And when I finally did, I look back at when I first began to ask him, and I realized I wasn't ready for what he wanted to bring to me. And so much of our waiting in our lives, my friends, is about how we're using that time. What is God trying to teach me while I'm waiting? What is it that he wants me to know? Are there things about me that I need to get sharpened while I'm waiting for that to come, whatever it is? And I really believe that the mark of a growing and maturing Christian is one who knows how to wait well. That I don't make my life miserable or everybody else's life miserable. I think about those dear people who, you know what, I only can be around them just so much because I find that every time I come to them, only thing they want to talk about is how terrible things are in their lives. I don't know if you know anybody like that. Certainly nobody in this room. I know that. But people like that want to wonder, why don't I have any friends? Well, it's because that's all you talk about is how terrible life is. And in reality, what you may be experiencing right there is a time of waiting and just asking God, God, when you're ready, I want to be ready. The eagle knows how to wait well because he doesn't waste that time. Those talons that the bird is also sharpening are obviously very important. It's its primary tool for hunting. And the talons, and I told you about this last week, where the birds in their courtship will fly and interlock their talons together. And so it's used in many different ways. But when we look at sharpening in our own lives, and the Bible talks about being sharpened, how we can sharpen one another. Proverbs 27:17, you might be familiar with this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so persons sharpen one another. So the sharpening process means that I'm learning, that I'm growing. And there are times when that sharpening is painful. Like I said, when that eagle is pulling those feathers out, that can't feel very good. You know, when God is wanting us to remove some things from our life, many times that doesn't feel very good. It's a little painful. But can I tell you something this morning? And this might be a revelation for you. Pain and discomfort are not always signs that something's wrong. Those aren't always signs that something's wrong. We naturally just want to avoid pain, don't we? I do. I'm not interested in being in situations or circumstances that are terrible. But you know what? Sometimes God allows us to walk through those things, and it's the very process that he's wanting to teach us in order to help us to grow. And sometimes it's about those things that help us to become renewed. So when you're in the midst of something that's difficult for you, don't always be thinking first thing, I got to get out of this as soon as I can. Ask God, God, what am I doing right now? What is this about in my life? What is it you're trying to show me? What is it that you need to teach me? Because it's only in that attitude before God that he'll be able to reveal everything that he wants us to know, because we're in a position to receive it. So our eagle doesn't look real good right now. He's got feathers missing. Probably got a busted up beak. He's been working on those talons. But invariably what happens is that wherever those feathers have been pulled out, new ones begin to grow. And they're beautiful. He doesn't whistle when he flies. He looks, in fact, renewed, like he's been reborn. It's one of the reasons why Native American tribes worshipped the eagle. They called it a thunderbird, because it appeared to them that he just kept getting reborn over and over and over. He never seemed to wear out. So for us this morning, what can we do when we're in a time that we need renewal? If you're in a place right now, you're going, yeah, you know what? I could use some new feathers right now. I could use a little sharpening to my talons. My beak feels pretty dull. What do we do? How do we go about doing that? Here's the first. Are there any feathers that you need to have removed from your life? Any of your feathers that, you know what, I just need. And most of the time, those feathers take the form of relationships, attitudes, behaviors, activities, habits. All of those things that we tend to get very complacent with, and in reality, they may be, in fact, keeping us from walking in the things that God wants us to walk in. They keep us from being able to become renewed because we're burdened down with the things of the past. We're burdened down with things that we should not be in. It's not easy to do this. Sometimes it even hurts. If you've got a friendship that maybe takes you in places you know you should not go. I know a number of years ago, I played a lot of softball. A lot of softball. A ridiculous amount of softball. But I used to hang out with the guys on the team. And it became very apparent to me very quickly that these guys were not helping me in my walk with the Lord at all. They wanted to go places that I shouldn't be. They wanted to do things I shouldn't do. Talk about things that I didn't want to talk about. And there came a point where I had to make a choice. And it wasn't easy. These weren't bad guys, but their hearts weren't focused where they should be. Their minds weren't given over to the Lord. They weren't bad, but I knew I couldn't continue to be with them. Sometimes it's difficult to make those separations, but when we do, we begin to put ourselves in a place where we can become renewed because of the power of God. Now, don't make this about trying to find every horrible thing in your life that you possibly can. Because you don't have to look real far for most of us. Most of us kind of know where our bad areas are. There are two things you need to do. Number one, the first thing is you need to just own who you are. Just accept the responsibility of who you are and what you do. You know, in our culture today, very, very few people, I think, really understand what it means to take responsibility for themselves. You see it with the sports athletes, certainly Hollywood, they're great at this. But you don't have to look very far where you get people that when they do something, they have all kinds of excuses of why they did it. My dad didn't love me. My mom wasn't around. Bad toilet training. I wasn't breastfed. I don't know. It just, I don't know if that would be one or not. That's for the new moms, this stuff. But we don't accept responsibility for the things that we do. And one of the very first steps that we can take in order to begin to move ourselves to that place of being ready to be renewed is just simply say, Father, I really am a mess right now in some things. I need you. I need to change some things in my life. Accept that responsibility. But just simply ask the Holy Spirit. The writer of Psalms 44:21 tells us he knows the secrets of our heart. He already knows what's there. Many times all he's wanting to do is just for you to say, Father, yeah, I need you. Second thing we need to do. The eagle cleans itself with the water. But there's only one thing that can cleanse us. And that's the blood of Jesus. There's only one thing. Your actions, your activities, how you act, all of those things, they aren't going to take away your sin. The Bible says there is only one thing that does that. And that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And there have been a lot of hymns written about this. One of my favorites, this guy by the name of Robert Lowry, did this back in 1876. A local guy, actually, born in Philly, lived in Lewisburg, had a church down in that area. But these are the first words of his song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I've heard this said before, and it disturbed me when I heard it. But the more I've thought about it, I think this is true. There are probably going to be a lot of nice people in hell. Nice people. You'd see them around here, talk to them, just, boy, really nice guy. But being nice isn't what cleanses us of our sins. Doing good deeds for other people doesn't cleanse us from our sins. Coming to church does not cleanse you from your sins. There's only one thing that does that. And that's when you acknowledge your need for Jesus Christ and you accept him into your heart as your personal Savior. That is the only thing that will cleanse us. The eagle gets the cleansing with the water. We have the blood. And every time I sin, every time I stumble, every time I fall, when I confess myself to him, he's right there to say, okay, it's done. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You know this verse. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. That's the power of God's blood over us. A couple more and then I'm done. The bird spends a lot of time sharpening its beak, which it needs to. It needs to be sharp, tearing into the flesh of the animal that it captures, holding on to things, defending itself. We have a beak as well. And I talked about this several weeks ago. Our beak is our mouth. And we also have a weapon within that mouth, because what we have is the ability to be able to speak the word of God. This is our sword. This is the weapon that we have been given. We talked about this, remember, in Ephesians 6, about the armor of God. We talked about the sword and how the sword is used to defend and to fight, but it's also used in order to preen, in order to help to heal us. Scripture I read to you before about what the Bible is good for teaching and rebuking and all of those things. That's what the Word of God does. My friends, we can never have enough of the Word of God in our lives. Can I encourage you to make an effort every day to spend at least a few minutes in the Word? And again, yeah, Pastor Dave, an hour. No, won't be an hour, just a couple minutes. Let that grow. Because as you read the Word, you're going to find that it begins to speak to you more and more and more. Whatever needs to be sharpened in our lives. You know, we have a rock to be able to do that with. The eagle has its rock, has the talons that it'll pull across there, and the beak it'll rub on the rock. We have a rock as well. And our rock is Jesus Christ. That he will sharpen us. That he will bring us to the place that we need to be. That he will help us to remove the things that need to be removed and bring us strength and joy that we can't have of our own. And in every circumstance, I like this, the eagle flies up to be close to the warmth of the sun. Everything we do, we should also be drawing closer to the sun. S-O-N, not S-U-N. Everything that we do draws us closer to him. Everything that is a part of my life, I want it to be something that's going to be drawing me to him. We talked a couple of weeks ago about manna. Remember, we talked about the Israelites and the manna and how they complained and grumbled about everything because they didn't have any meat to eat. And so God said, okay, you want meat? I'll give you meat. And he sent a couple million quail. But remember I told you that they got the quail and they fixed it and they were drying it and do all that. And they did that around the outside of the camp. And we said that the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence, was in the very center of the camp. And so everything that they were doing with that food that they didn't trust God for took them further and further away from the presence of God because it was on the outside. Anything that takes us away from the presence of God is something that we want to keep away from our lives. Anything. You say, Pastor Dave, come on. What are you, like being legalistic or something? No. What I'm talking about is a very practical way that we need to live our lives, that if we allow the enemy to come in, since we know there are going to be difficulties, since we know there are going to be troubles, why do I want to give the enemy an inroad into my life? And so can I encourage you this morning that if you're worn, if you're a little weary today, check your feathers out. You have some feathers you need to might get rid of. Might need to take some of those things. Might need to leave some things aside. Make sure that you are confessing before the Father your life every single day so that you always have that blood washing over you, cleansing you every single day. And anything that needs to be sharpened, go to the rock. Go to the rock. Take the word. Use that to sharpen what you are and what you need to be. My friends, as we walk through life, we haven't been promised it's going to be easy. There are going to be difficulties for us. But even more than that, we have been promised by God that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he is always present, that he'll give us every tool that we need. All we have to do is just embrace that and embrace him. And when we do that, we're going to walk in the fullness and be renewed, and that joy is going to come back into our lives. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you do want to encourage us in all of these things. I thank you, Father, that we can be renewed and that there are times I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling beaten down. Lord, I can come to you. I can ask God that you wash me clean again. I can do things in my life, moving away from those things that should not be there. And Father, I want to keep my beak, keep my talons sharp so that I can use them to glorify you. Father, I thank you for each and every person here today. I pray blessing over them. And as they leave this place, may they go with the fullness of who you have created each and every one of them to be. Protect us, Lord. Bring us back again next week. And we just look forward to all that you're going to do in our lives. It's in Jesus' precious name that I pray all these things. And God's people said, amen. Amen.